Hi, and welcome to the Mariah Book Report. I'm Martin Burgess.
And I'm Dan Enriquez.
You know us from another podcast called The Mariah Report, where we have intellectual, stimulating
conversations.
Yes.
And dissect Mariah Carey's every move. You know that podcast.
Yeah.
Here we are making another one all about
Mariah,
her new memoir.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, guys. So welcome. We are going to be breaking down the meaning of Mariah Carey.
The book.
Yes. We just got the physical copy. It's in our hand.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to go part by part, piece by piece, to see what she's telling us, a whole new Mariah we're seeing here.
Yeah, so this week we're going to cover a bunch of chapters. We're going to work our way through and we're going to cover
an intention.
Yes, close my eyes.
An existence.
Existence. In no particular order.
In no particular order. We're gonna cover the first sort of like four chapters, if you will.
Yeah.
Because this is a memoir, they're not necessarily chapters. They're more like short stories that fit into sort of an era of Mariah's life, right? So it's so the book itself overall is just broken down into four sections, four parts. So it's Wayward Child, Sing Sing, All That Glitters, and Emancipation. Obviously, we're starting at the beginning, so Wayward Child.
Yeah. I kind of like how they set it out. I do like the short stories, but then the bigger stories too. Because it is like these snapshots of moments that, like they said, and it makes total sense. It works really well.
It does. It does. And it's Mariah points out sort of early on in the book, sort in the prelude, that the book is going to bounce around from here to there. So that's sort of what we're going to do with our episodes, or at least for some of these like smaller chapters. We're going to pull them together as one and go through them. So, you know.
Yeah. So let's do a little backstory on the book.
Yeah.
It's been years in the making.
Right.
It's been decades in the wanting.
The lambs have been wanting this forever. That is for sure.
Yeah.
I remember Mariah back when she was pregnant with the kids. She was first coming to like the realization that she should be writing a book. But it's been 10 years since then. Almost,
nearly-ish.
So here she is finally. So the book is written by Mariah Carey and Michaela Angela Davis. And they've been working on it for about 3 years.
Yes.
So that's a lot of time, a lot of effort.
Also, if you haven't heard the interview yet, we do have an interview with Michaela Angela Davis over on the Mariah Report. So check that out. And she gives us really great insight.
Yeah, exactly. So now, before we get into the book, I think we need to talk about the physical book that we have in our hands. And we're seeing all the photos and everything and the cover and the back cover and all the symbolicness of all of that.
Super good.
Super good.
First of all, nice and sturdy.
Oh, yes, honey.
They got the good paper.
You know, these first edition of the printing is like, this is going to get the most wear and tear. So it needs to be sturdy, girl. But let's talk about the front cover. It's at first there was a lot of like talk, even from us, about it not looking like it should be a book cover. It's more like a magazine cover.
Right.
The photo is too high glam, this, that, or the other. But once you have it in your hands and you get it, and it's really stunning. It's visually stunning.
I think one of the arguments was, oh, it looks like a magazine cover when the photo shoot originally happened, because it was part of a billboard photo shoot.
But right.
Now I'm looking at it, I'm like, no, it's a book.
Oh, that's a book.
Yeah.
That's a book, baby.
Yep.
That is a book.
They knew what they were doing.
Somebody has an idea. More, they know more than we do.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Okay, but then I think one of the sentimental parts that Mariah had pointed out was the connection between the front cover and the back cover.
Yeah.
So on the back cover, we have little Mariah. How old is she in that picture? Does she say like seven or eight, maybe?
I think about eight.
Something like that. I don't know numbers.
Yeah.
I don't know numbers. But it's her on the beach.
Yes.
And her hair is blowing in the wind. And on the spine of the book, you see that the hair intermingles, intertwines with the hair on the front cover.
Yes, with grown Mariah.
Yes, big Mariah.
But keep in mind, this is who we're going to meet in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
little Mariah.
Right. So that hair connection mm-hmm. is the whole connection of what goes on in this book. It's emancipating. Mariah says this book is emancipating the little Mariah, the little girl inside of herself. So that little connection there is big. It's monumental.
But there's also a kind of how it's written too, where it bounces around through time. We're going to be connected from little Mariah and you're going to see the connections into big Mariah too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I'm down for that. Girl, that makes it all the more exciting for me.
Yes, yes. And the musical connections. Like you're going to see that grown Mariah's musical career connects to little Mariah and
it's
those stories.
It's all together, baby. It's all together.
Mm-hmm.
But so the front cover, the back cover are great, but we also in the middle of the book, and we'll talk about it later in further episodes, there's pictures that sort of coincide throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And the pictures are really well done. She put a lot of good pictures in there.
And ones we haven't seen.
Ooh, girl, I was real excited. Really excited.
Yeah. Lots of pages.
I
could do a whole new separate book of more pictures.
I just want a photo album. Just give me a whole like 200-page photo album, Mariah. Like that's the next publication, okay?
Yeah.
Come on now. All right. So let's get into the book itself.
Okay. So everybody make sure you have your book with you or have your digital copy. Let's turn to the dedication. Let's start there, right?
Yeah, I think the dedication of all the books that I've read in my life, you know, I'm a scholar like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the best dedications that I think I've ever read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you like about it?
Well,
that's different.
I like that it's just not one simple thank you or one simple this book is dedicated to.
Right.
She thanks her kids. She thanks her ancestors. She thanks her mother. So there's a lot going on, and a lot of what she talks about here in the dedication coincides with also what she talks at length about in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it, again, all coincides.
Mm.
Like this dedication means something. And then right after she thanks the kids, she thanks the people who have passed down to her.
Mm-hmm.
She says, to my lineage, my ancestors, all of them, you may have come from two different worlds that were often in struggle with each other, yet the best of you lives inside of me, finally, harmoniously.
Uh-huh.
Love it.
Yeah.
That could have been just the dedication, but no, she went even further and then she thanks her mother as well. So it's all about passing down.
But also acknowledging them.
Mm-hmm.
And reaching back, and we're going to connect those stories too.
Yes.
A lot of hair connections going on.
Yes. So the book really is artfully done in more ways than one.
Right. But and also I think because we're going to learn about Pat, her mother, and we're going to see her in a different way than the public persona was.
Exactly.
But she's acknowledging that.
Right off the top of the bat here, she's like,
you're part of the story, but...
And we love you.
Yeah.
We love you. Because I was like, after reading the book, I was like, she is lucky she put that in there because it's going to save some lives.
God.
All right. So, like I said earlier, it's divided into four parts. And we're going to discuss the first couple of chapters here in the Wayward Child part. So
yeah. And just before the Wayward Child, we do kind of recap about how we're going to jump around through time and how the book's written.
Right. And how Mariah doesn't acknowledge time and
yes.
all of those things.
There's no need.
Yeah. So it just gives you a better understanding of where she's coming from in terms of the layout of this book. She says, it will move back and forth, up and down, moment to moment, adding up to the meaning of me now.
Yeah.
So it's there, it's here, it's there, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
all right.
Mm-hmm. But that also coincides with her music as well. When she releases a new album or you go to Petals or Close My Eyes, we're going back in time in those songs.
True, true,
we're
true.
Bouncing around.
And also another thing she sort of points on is like that's how she sort of lives her life.
Mm.
It's like she doesn't acknowledge time because it's just everything and nothing all at the same time.
Yeah.
But she chronicles her life through her career achievements, her albums, just like us lambs do.
Yes, yes.
It's the same thing, girl. Yes. I get it.
So let's talk about the characters that we're going to meet in yes. these first few chapters.
Mm-hmm. Mariah sort of sets the tone, introduces us to a couple different folks, mm-hmm. and those people will be throughout this entire book.
Yeah. So I think the main character, obviously, is Mariah. And in the chapter, An Intention, she explains that the whole point of the book is to set little Mariah free and tell her stories.
From her point of view.
Yeah.
That's the whole intention behind the book.
Right.
So she's the first one we meet. And then she brings us into the family home mm-hmm. where we meet Patricia.
Yes.
The mother. Alfred Roy, the father.
Uh-huh.
Morgan, the brother.
Yep.
And Allison, the sister.
There she is.
There's the people playing the game here,
that's
honey.
The fam. Yeah. I think it's interesting because normally when, and especially now, she'll talk about ex-sister, ex-brother. She'll be vague about who the family members are.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're actually a unit.
Right.
And they're not vague. They have names.
And they're direct.
Yeah.
She's telling direct stories and experiences uh-huh. in relation to her whole family.
Right.
And what they've done and how they've all interacted, not only with Mariah, but also with each other.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that also plays in a vital sort of storyline in these first few chapters.
Yeah. But we're also experiencing the relationship before it broke down.
Right.
So it's a new insight.
Yeah, because we have to remember Mariah's the youngest child and there's almost like a 8, 9, 10 year difference between her and her. So her older brother and sister have already experienced a whole different life
mm-hmm.
before Mariah even arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So that also plays a whole part in the dynamic of the family as well.
Yeah. But also, I remember there's an episode of Oprah now that were talking about family dynamics. And one of the main points was everybody in the family is having a different experience.
Right. Through very different points of view.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And Mariah does go into that a little bit mm-hmm. in some of these chapters. So outside of the immediate family, we also meet some extended family in these first few chapters.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to meet some of her cousins, great aunts, all from her father's side.
Yeah. Which we never really get into. And a name that we've heard out and about, Nana Reese.
Right. And years ago, she told a story about Nana Reese. But now we're getting more of the full story behind that and all of that. We also meet Cousin Lavinia.
Yeah.
And a couple other folks from that side of the family. And she explains, you know, because when you look at it, her father's extended family is really the only other family she knows growing up.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing from the mom's side.
Yeah. Well, here's what the interesting thing is that people argue about Mariah's blackness, whereas we get to know it now.
Right.
Like those family members are the ones that she was really around the most.
And that's what she knows the most. That's what she's closest to and she's most comfortable with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very interesting.
We're also getting some non-human characters, such as we get introduced to Music. That's a character.
Oh, yes. Look at you, girl.
And Mariah's connection. And we're introduced to New York City. Mariah's connection to New York City.
Yeah.
Started young, as a young kid, not as an adult.
Right. She's just not out there in the Long Island. Like her family, her parents were married at a church here in Harlem.
Yeah.
You know, and all of that. So there is a lot of backstory. Brooklyn Heights, blah, blah, blah. So she's been all over. She's a New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
She's a New Yorker.
Yeah. But already out the gate, we realize the story's been so much more, it's more complex than we ever imagined.
Right. You're seeing things only from what we're seeing and hearing through the radio and the TV.
Yeah.
There's a whole nother life, a whole nother side to Mariah that we're just now learning about.
Yeah. But also just think, what magazine will ever publish a story about Mariah coming to Harlem on the weekend to visit her parents or whatever.
Right, exactly. Like that's boring to the average, you know, magazine editor or journalist or whatever. And then one other character, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, but a pivotal character when Mariah's young is her friend Maureen.
Mm.
So we're going to talk about that as well. But let's go back to the very sort of first chapter and intention and really break down what Mariah's saying there and what she's trying to, what her intention is.
Yeah, so starting on page 3, that's the chapter, An Intention. So basically she's like explaining what the point and why she needs to talk about this little girl.
Mm-hmm. Why this little girl has been hidden and why she's been a prisoner for so long.
And the consequence.
Yes.
Of that.
Oh my God, girl, let's get into it. Because this whole, even though this first story slash chapter is short, it's very, very integral to the whole layout and meaning behind the entire book and everything that's going to come after it.
So I think the overall theme of the chapter and intention is that she's not really ratting anybody out or gossiping or trying to be mean to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
She's just, one, setting free the story of little Mariah.
Right, exactly. This isn't a salacious, you know, gossip book or anything like that. This is really, this has been a cathartic and therapeutic moment and process for Mariah. And that's what she wants everyone to know right off the bat. So if you're looking for anything else, you're not getting it, honey.
Yeah. But also it's a different world because I think we're realizing people's stories have been silenced. You're not supposed to talk about abusive situations or the violent family member. You're kind of trained to keep it a secret. But what we're finding in just general, it's toxic.
It is very.
And we're having major breakdowns like the Me Too movement or all the racial problems in society right now as a result of these silent stories.
Exactly. So we got to open it up. We got to do it. We got to go there. So I want to start really quickly. There were two moments in this first chapter that immediately, and this is probably one of the first times we might even get introduced to the music subtly, is there were two lines that I immediately related back to Mariah songs that we already know. So one of them is right off the top here. She says, "For many years, she's been locked away inside of me, always alone, hidden in plain sight before masses of people." So she's talking about little baby Mariah, young Mariah, being, you know, hidden in plain sight. So that's looking in right there. So she's already starting, girl. She's already going there.
Right.
And then a little further on, another sentence or passage that was really made me go back to a moment is, she says, "I have seen, I have been scared, I have been scarred, and I have survived." Now that right there is my saving grace to me.
Grew up confused.
Yes, I've been bruised.
Yes.
I've been black and blue, black and white, all of it, all of it. So I really like that subtly she's putting those little things in there. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but those popped out to me for sure.
Well, then she goes on to explain that even though she tried to keep the little girl protected in air quotes or a secret and, you know, didn't want these stories out there in the world, I guess. Trying to protect the siblings that we're going to meet.
Right. But she don't have to do that because they're not protecting her.
It didn't do anything.
They don't get that.
Yeah. It ended up being more toxic to keep it a secret. So she says at the end of the chapter, "This book is a testimony to the resilience of silenced little girls and boys everywhere. To insist that we believe them, to honor their experiences and tell their stories and to set them free."
Amen.
Yeah,
amen. That's it right there, honey. That's the whole layout of the book.
Right.
Boom. Right there.
Interesting that point she says to insist that we believe them because for so long people don't believe the stories.
Right. Or it's not necessarily like, oh, you're making up stories or stuff like that. But it's like, this is my experience. This is how I see things. Believe me. Hear me, you know?
But look at how also just think about the general perspective of her relationship with Allison. Allison's in the media begging for money and she's being robbed and all these things. Mariah won't help me. She's, Mariah, help me, Mariah, help me. So now it turns to mean Mariah.
Right.
But really there's a story and a reason.
Oh, and we hear all the reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but you need to believe
You need to believe little Mariah.
Yes.
Little Mariah has a story, y'all.
Yeah.
And she ain't lying.
Right.
All right, so next comes the existence chapter story. This whole chapter here is really sort of explaining how Mariah did not feel. She did not feel seen, heard, loved, or any of that.
And well, she felt different.
She felt different.
And she aware of it as a kid.
Well, right off the bat, she does the lyrics for outside. She felt outside. She felt other. She did not. She even says in there, she says, "We shared common blood, yet I felt like a stranger among them all, an intruder in my own family." So even as a young girl, she's like, I don't fit in here. Something's not right. The dynamic isn't right. The vibe isn't flowing with me. Why is that? How do you even like start to, as a child, understand that?
Yeah. Well, it must, obviously it's getting made known to little Mariah that you're not your white mother, you're not your black father, and the siblings are letting you know that you're not part of them.
Right. Well, yeah, and because Mariah says that the siblings, they got a dark light to them. They got a darkness.
Uh-huh.
So they're just all on, automatically the frequency is off.
Right.
So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
But what happens is through music, this is what Mariah sort of discovers music, and mm-hmm. it's a calmingness. It's almost like a meditation for her. She mm-hmm. talks about, you know, when her mom would be doing the singing the scales and whatnot, like humming up and down or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a singer. But it was how it was soothing for her
mm-hmm.
and her voice was soothing to her. It was almost like, you know, that blanket, you know, your favorite little baby blanket or your little, like, you know, teddy bear or something. It was like that one thing that she could hold on to was her own voice.
Also discovering her voice exists.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There it is.
And like her mom's, by her mom having music in the house, Mariah did discover that.
Yeah. So this is a really interesting and pivotal point in Mariah's story when she gets seen and she realizes her singing voice is something special.
Right.
And imagine the world without this moment.
You know what I mean? But yeah. it's all destiny. It's all the universe.
It is, but
in
it's really
perfect order.
Yeah, so it's really profound. And she obviously remembers it really well because she says, "One day when I was around 8 years old, I was walking down the street with my friend Maureen, who had porcelain-like skin with warm brown hair and a sweet face like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. She was one of the few little white girls in my neighborhood who was allowed to play with me. We walked. I began to sing something. She stopped suddenly, frozen in place on the sidewalk. She listened for a moment in silence, standing very still. Finally, she turned to me and said, in a clear and steady voice, 'When you sing, it sounds like there are instruments with you. There's music all around your voice.' She said it like a proclamation, almost like a prayer."
I know. Isn't that amazing though? But
she was gagged.
She was gagged as a kid walking down the street, gagged.
Yeah.
But I like that is so true though, because I obviously all of us lambs have heard Mariah singing a cappella, and I've heard a million people sing a cappella. Mm. When Mariah sings a cappella,
yes.
you are having a full musical experience even without music.
Yes.
It's transcending.
Mm-hmm.
It's a moment.
Yeah.
It really is. And so to hear that that's been going on through Mariah's entire life, that's magical.
Mm-hmm.
That's special right there.
Yeah. It also instantly dismantles the argument that she's a manufactured pop star.
Right. Right.
She didn't just learn this.
No, she was born with this gift.
Yeah.
And people were recognizing it, maybe not right away in her family, but like, you know, when you get that first recognition outside of your family, you're like, oh, wow, this really is something.
Yeah.
Mariah does say, "I believed my voice was made of instruments, piano, strings, and flutes. I believed my voice could be music. All I needed was someone to see and hear me."
Hmm.
And that's it. And she got that very young, very early on. Thank goodness. Because what if that had not happened? Like you were saying, could you imagine?
Yeah.
No. It's here we are. And that is what Mariah, the music and understanding that that's what made her feel like she was worthy.
Right.
That she could exist.
Well, think about it. If that moment didn't happen with Maureen, she might have just thought she had a normal voice. Like it wasn't special.
Right. Like she's just, you know, average.
Like her mother. But her mother sings too. So maybe it's just normal to have a voice like that.
Yeah. Right. So it was a very, very pivotal moment for Mariah in her life.
Yeah.
So now I feel we can move on to the next chapter, which is Close My Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So right off the bat, the chapter name Close My Eyes. Close My Eyes is one of my favorite songs. And in Close My Eyes, she talks about, you know, seeing things little ones shouldn't see.
Being a wayward child.
You know, being a wayward child and, you know, burying things.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? When I thought about Wayward Child in the song, I wonder if it kind of gives the connotation that it means she was like kind of naughty or wild, like mm-hmm. in her own self, versus floating around, not being able to fit into anywhere.
Right.
Even sort within of, her own family.
Right. And or even neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But that's from outside. I know that. Mm-hmm. Let's not close my eyes.
Still right. Same album.
It is. It is. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Okay. So this chapter here sort of starts to lay out the family dynamic, and it is a monumental moment.
Yes. And so we're inside the family now. And in Close My Eyes, the song, she says, she has the line, "I left the worst unsaid."
Uh-huh.
Here we go. We're going to start saying what the worst is.
Now she's speaking on it.
Yes.
She's speaking on it. She's emancipating it.
Yeah.
So the start of this chapter is her brother, Morgan, and the father are in a full-on brawl.
Yeah.
All out, just hitting and banging and bruising each other.
Yeah.
So dramatic.
Dramatic, yes. But also, we're establishing instability.
100%, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's young, and I think she's like 4 years old when this is happening, and she remembers being so scared.
Mm.
And this is when she started to learn more about her brother and his anger.
Mm-hmm.
And what that could do, mm-hmm. and how she was scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "I always thought of my brother's anger as weather, powerful, destructive, and unpredictable." That's a lot to be around when you're a kid, you know, because that's like the first thing that you can remember. This being one of Mariah's first memories.
Violence.
It's wild. It's wild.
Well, just even this line kind of shook me a little bit on page 9. "By the time I was a toddler, I had developed the instincts to sense when violence is coming."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, this is an interesting chapter to me, looking, you know, what Mariah has been through in her career, because she is sort of, even though she's scared of this violence and dysfunction, she almost becomes desensitized to dysfunction. So she allows dysfunction later in her life through her marriage and maybe business associations and mm-hmm. things of that nature.
Mm.
It's almost like
normal.
It's almost like normal to her, but she knows it's not.
Yeah.
But you're just so used to it.
She doesn't know any better.
She has nothing else to go off of.
Yeah.
So what is she supposed to do?
But also keep in mind, a child that young, most parents, it's their goal to protect them and make sure they feel safe in the house and feel nurtured and looked after. Whereas Mariah didn't have that.
No, there was none of that. It's neglect, essentially.
Yeah.
It's all kinds of dysfunction coming from
abusive.
It's everything.
But this is also not the first time. So this has been going on her whole life.
Exactly.
Since the baby.
You know, this has been going on the whole time. Like, so Morgan, the brother, is, if Mariah's 4, he's probably 14, and he's already in fist fights with the father. That's not the first time it happened.
Yeah.
Mariah's been seeing that, whether she remembers it or not, since the day she was born, probably.
Mm-hmm. We also learned that her father was in the military. So I wonder if there's elements of PTSD.
Oh, right. Yeah.
As well. So
of course.
All kinds of dysfunction just in the house.
Yes. But she does say that one of the things that is sort of a saving grace or sort of a calming force is her Nana Reese.
Mm.
Where does it talk about Nana Reese?
On the bottom.
"Pastor Nana Reese, the good Reverend Roscoe Reese, and their African Methodist Pentecostal church where my father came from." Like, those are the people that are like a calming force in Mariah's life, especially Nana Reese.
Mm-hmm. And also we get to learn that heritage, her ancestors too.
Right, where they come from,
yeah.
what they are into.
She's a pastor. I didn't really know that until reading this, that they were part of the church. So heavily involved in the church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She even does say in this that, "I did later learn that people called Nana Reese a prophetess. I also learned that she was not the only healer in my lineage."
Mm-hmm.
So here Mariah is starting to talk about that lineage that she was talking about in the dedication.
Yeah.
It's all throughout the book here. So she comes from a long line of healers.
Right. So the connection there is, it's no coincidence that she comes from a line of healers and her music has been healing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%.
It's in her genes.
It's that through line throughout that line of her family.
Yeah.
And look at, can you believe it?
Or even just that healing energy expressing itself differently.
Yeah, I mean, Mariah's touched and changed the lives of millions of people around the world. I mean, that's impactful. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's divine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Gospel.
It's the gospel, baby. That's what it is. That's what it is. So she talks about the story of how during that fight, Nana Reese was able to sort of comfort her. And
happened to be there.
Right, because she wasn't always over at the house.
Yeah.
So again, it was all meant to be. And these things that, these pivotal moments.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, she says that Nana Reese is there. She does it, calms her down. And this is where she learned that she had a light inside of her. Again, this is like one of those little passages that immediately makes me think of a Mariah song when she says, I knew there was light, and somehow I knew that light was mine and everlasting.
Mm.
That right there is can't take that away. Mm-hmm. There's a light in me.
Mm-hmm.
So here, girl, I'm digging in these sentences. I'm pulling these songs out. I know where they are.
I know. But also, we learn Mariah's connection to New York City and the tri-state area, because I think the public persona is, or if you don't live in this region of America, you think the story is she lived on Long Island, one day got the train and moved to New York, and that's it.
Right.
She was a New Yorker from 18 years old.
Yeah.
Whereas that's not the fact. Her grandparents were here. They would come and visit to the city. Her parents lived in Brooklyn. So she's been bouncing in and out and connected to New York City her whole life from the beginning. She's a legit New Yorker.
She is, girl, through and through, through and through. Yeah, I don't think I remember or recall Mariah talking about her parents and the Brooklyn Heights aspect of it.
Right.
So it's good to sort of see sort of the backstory that she lays out a little bit in this chapter about where her family, her dad's family at least, is coming from.
Yeah, but that's also going to influence her music later on in life. Hip-hop music, being around it, being exposed to it and learning it, because we learn that she is good at mimicking. So we have that aspect. We also see in Glitter, Glitter's based in New York. We mm-hmm. see New York City in The Roof.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are things that are particular to New York City.
It's all the way through. So let's continue with There Can Be Miracles on page 13 that starts.
Yes.
Because this sort of piggybacks off of the violence that Mariah is growing up around.
Mm-hmm.
And the violence that her brother is bringing.
Mm-hmm.
And this chapter connects all of that and really it fleshes out that whole story. So we have a better understanding of what level of violence there is going on.
But also who Morgan is in Mariah's life. He's this violent person and it's escalating.
Right. And she also says in here that it's not just him being an angry teen.
Uh-huh.
It's deeper than that. Like he is broken in a way that like you can't even like, at least for what at Mariah's age, you can't even start to understand.
Yeah.
It's way deeper than that. And probably for various reasons. I mean,
well, we also learned that he has some sort of disability. So I'm assuming it's a learning disability. Maybe in today's language, he's on the spectrum. So probably being undiagnosed, he's expressing himself the only way he knows how, and that's right. With violence.
Yeah. Mariah does say that her brother was like broken early on, and also that like her father wasn't really able to step in because he was probably unaware, you know. Remember, this is like the 70s.
Mm.
You know, things like mental health, PTSD, those are not spoken about.
No.
And let alone if you're a Black man.
And no
you
help.
Know what I mean? There's no help.
Yeah.
No, there's no outreach. There's no way to sort of like help yourself.
And everyone's, especially in the suburbs around the world, or at least in the Western societies, everyone's living in fear of not being normal.
Yeah, exactly. Mariah speaks on it. Here she says, a broken man cannot fix his broken boy. My brother was shattered into pieces, scattered to the wind, and our father's outdated tools of militaristic discipline were inadequate to help him collect himself and prepare himself for manhood.
Ooh.
That is a lot to unpack right there.
This phrase that comes to mind is like, it's not this situation, but like children raising children.
Yeah, yeah. Very like, similar.
You don't know how to be a parent.
Exactly. You know, her dad only knows like what he knows. And like she says, it's very militaristic. That's all he knows. It's this. There's no in between. Mm-hmm. And that's not helping, especially when you have a child going through this situation mm-hmm. with Morgan. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just creating more havoc. Mm-hmm. That's not helpful.
Yeah.
So they're, again, here they are as a family, the five of them, and there's no one letting them know. There's no one saying, oh, here's how you help yourself, or this is what needs to happen. It's y'all are just blown in the wind, just scattered in the wind, like she said, just all over the place.
Yeah. But let's think about the family just in the neighborhood, for example. There's also people in the neighborhood who think they're weird or different, not mm-hmm. supposed to be living like that.
Yeah.
So you have that coming from the outside. Then you have that energy on the inside of the house. You don't want anybody on the outside to think you're weird
uh-huh.
or violent or knowing what's going on inside. Look at how chaotic it is.
It's complete and total chaos through and through. And so,
but also that's just, that's us being adults, kind of analyzing and breaking it mm-hmm. down. Imagine being a little four-year-old with no language.
Right. You don't have that ability. You don't have that understanding, that wherewithal to like sort of start looking at this and from a different point of view.
Yeah.
So the rest of this chapter, There Can Be Miracles, Mariah sort of tells the story about how, so now they've come from Brooklyn Heights and now they're living out there in Long Island in a little town called Northport. Mm-hmm. And so here's what happens. The family, the parents are divorced. Morgan and Mariah are living with mom and Allison is living with dad. Mm-hmm. And Mariah goes on to say or tell a story about Morgan and his mom and her mom getting into a fight. Now. Mm-hmm. Oh, the drama of that one.
Yeah.
Again, being a young kid, Mariah having to call for help because Morgan has just
knocked
her out.
Yeah. But also, you know, it's so taboo to beat up a woman.
Let alone your own mother.
So now there's no boundaries with Morgan. It's Mariah's next.
Why? Right, exactly. And there's that instant fear, instant and continual fear radiating through Mariah. Because the brother's beating up the mom and the dad.
Yeah.
It's sort of like you can sort of say, I don't want to say like you could almost excuse a father and son fighting because it's not right. But like to see a son and mother fighting mm-hmm. and the son really attacking the mother, like that is just wild, outrageous, outrageous.
But we're going to see that behavior in Allison later on as well, these outbursts of anger.
Right. And some of them are geared towards Mariah herself.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not sisterly love.
But also Morgan, with this level of violence, Morgan is establishing control over Mariah.
Yes. Yeah, well, he's instilling a fear in her. Mm-hmm. And it's not right. That's not what family's supposed to do. That's mm-hmm. not it. Mm-hmm. That is not it. So Mariah witnesses all of this, the severity of it. She makes a phone call. She calls her mom's friend over. And she comes over with the police. Again, the police.
Well, keep in mind, back then, little Mariah is aware, don't call the police first.
True. Very true.
Because it's not going to help.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what she says in Close My Eyes chapter. It's like the police are questionable at best.
Yeah. Right.
So she calls the mom's friend, but the friend brings the police. Mm-hmm. And the police in the end, one of the cops looking down at me, but speaking to another cop beside him said, if this kid makes it, it'll be a miracle. And that night, I became less of a kid and more of a miracle. Like that is life altering for a little child to hear.
I think that establishes that policeman sees that all the time. It's normal.
Right. And they don't see that cycle ending. It's like, yeah. Oh, you're a product of this family. We know where we'll see you in 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Mariah had to hold on to her faith, hold on to everything that she is, gaining from Nana Reese and that part of the family to make it through all of this and to be the miracle that she is.
Interesting that these critical moments come from the friend Maureen, the random policeman,
mm-hmm.
as a result of Morgan's violence.
Right. You don't see any of these throughout the book, you see very few life-altering, life-affirming moments coming from her actual family members.
Mm.
It's quite the opposite, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So these things that change, you know, Mariah's whole mindset on who she is, where she belongs, and the rest of her life, is all coming from outside sources. There's something to be said about that.
The grandmother.
Mm-hmm. All of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that is a lot to unpack.
It is.
In the first few chapters, Mariah.
We've had beatings. We've had songs. We've had all kinds of things happen.
Everything and anything has already happened. And Mariah's not even 10 years old. I don't even think we get past her as like a 5-year-old or maybe a 7-year-old, she says.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's a lot.
It is.
It's just the tip of the iceberg, though, for what the meaning of Mariah Carey is going to tell us.
Yeah. One last thing. I find it interesting that it's kind of like a beach community too. You think it's peaceful and chill, but this is what's going on inside the house.
You never know what goes on inside those four walls of someone else's home.
Yeah.
It's wild and crazy.
Yeah.
And who would have ever thought, like that police said, that Mariah would come up from all of that, because it doesn't happen very often. And to break that cycle of, you know, dysfunction, of poverty, of feeling alone and isolated, to break out of all of that takes severe dedication and drive.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariah has it like 100 times over.
Yeah.
Look at her, girl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Amen, honey. Amen.
It makes you appreciate current Mariah so much more.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I think we've all known that Mariah's mentioned in the past that it was a very dysfunctional history.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing what level it is. And it's eye-opening for sure.
Yeah. But I think it also enriches songs like Hero and Make It Happen. They have more meaning now.
Yes, because they're coming from a place of real meaning. But that's also why we connect. I think we've always connected with her through those songs, because we know it's real and it is relatable. She's just not writing a song.
Mm-hmm.
She's releasing a part of her, a part of her trauma, her childhood trauma.
Yeah. Because I think one of the arguments are with kind of Joe Schmo is that, oh, she sings Hero and she sings Make It Happen. What would you know? You're rich.
Right. Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, there's a whole... Honey, that's why they got to get the book.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them the book. Ooh, I dare one more person to talk to me like that and say those. I will hit them upside the head with the book and then make them read it.
That's very violent.
Okay, well, I learned it from Morgan.
Oh, no.
Allegedly. I'm just kidding, obviously. But yeah, there's a lot of depth to Mariah that we barely even know.
Yeah, so the meaning of Mariah is really also connecting to these songs and in making them better.
That's right. That is absolutely right.
All right, guys.
So we have covered all of that. We will be back with the next episode talking more Mariah.
Yes. So also follow us on social media at The Mariah Report and join in the conversation. We're going to have some questions. We want to hear your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. This is interactive, back and forth. And we're also going to have some special guests joining the book report in coming episodes. So stay tuned for that.
Bye.
Bye.